It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to the Magic Hat.
It's the Magic Hat.
Yeah, baby! That's what I've been waiting for!
Bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics, and we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go.
Okay.
Until Swag pulls it out of his Magic Hat.
Hocus Pocus, where are you?
Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is that rabbit?
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Spray here, Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM. Live on YouTube, the Odyssey app. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Thursdays are off to a great start. We got Brady Henderson coming up bottom of the hour. We'll talk some Seahawks 49ers from the Seattle angle with him.
I am pumped for this.
At 9:30. Check that again, 9:30, 29 minutes from now. But it is time for the Magic Hat, and we have an actual Magic Hat. If you missed it last week, it's beautiful. It's a Tim Monas edition on top of the... This is the Magic Hat brought to you by Tim Monas. Shout out to our buddy who has put this entire thing essentially together. Yes. What do we got in the Magic Hat today, Swagger?
Your first one, new commentator.
Oh, new commentator. This is a leftover Magic Hat submission.
Wow, good job by you. Usually I have leftovers and I forget what it was hinting at because I try to like be coy with it.
You try to. I know. Yeah. There's creativity here. The help is that there's audio involved with it, so that makes it a little bit easier to remember because we had the audio and then we didn't end up playing it last week.
Is this the guy who should be the new number two lead for the Peacock basketball
game? I'm asking, do we need more of this? Now, this is kind of a tired bit because it's happened a number of times in different iterations or sports, if you will.
Yeah, okay.
So are we tired of it? Is this a funny spin? I will ask that question and let you observe. This comes to you a little over a week ago, and speak of which, it was on the Peacock. And it was the game, I can't remember the circumstances, Steve Kerr got ejected, and then he said his mom was really upset with him. It's a little over a week ago.
Yeah.
And on that game, they happened to have Snoop Dogg calling the game for whatever reason. And here's how it sounded.
Oh, look at Steve Kerr. He's all the way out here.
Uh-oh, Steve, don't get thrown out. Get him out of there. Get him out of there. Back him up. Back him up, GP. Back him up, Steve. Oh, Raider. Fire on him.
He's already gone.
Steve banging Englewood right now. Englewood. Get him, Steve. You and Englewood, Steve. The Arizona Wildcat that came out of him. Look at him.
So we've done this with hockey, I feel like. We've done this with the Olympics, I feel like. Didn't he?
Kevin Hart. With the Winter Olympics.
So that's why he was
Snoop
on the
Dogg,
Peacock.
I think he's warming
up. Leslie Jones also did the Olympics.
She did.
I think she did the Summer Olympics.
Okay, so do we want more Snoop Dogg commentating in our lives? Is it still funny or do we not find it funny anymore?
Oh, I mean, there's some funny parts of what he's saying right there. The Wildcat coming out in him right now. Banging for Inglewood. Like,
because the game was it was a Clipper. They were playing the Clippers.
I think with him, less is more.
Less is more with Snoop.
If he drops in every once in a while, too, like you're talking about Tuesday night random whatever game, spice it up a little bit.
He's the new Bill Walton.
Once we get to the playoffs, it's like okay, we're focused on
tighten it up a little bit,
winning and those sorts of things.
I'm not mad at it running it back. Kevin Hart's probably going to be on another broadcast at some point.
Yeah,
I'm not mad at it, but Swag's right. Like I think if you give me little doses here and there,
then it's funny.
Like. The Blazer-Warrior game on Tuesday this week.
Yes.
I somehow hit like a button for Swag of this is outrageous.
You were very offensive to him. Oh, was it Terry Gannon and Jamal Crawford? Was that the duo?
Yeah.
I just...
Not a Terry Gannon guy?
He has no excitement for the... He looks like somebody being forced to do something he doesn't want to do.
He's been calling golf for a long time.
I get it. But like the microphone is here. Hi, I'm Terry Gannon. I'm with Peacock Network today. Jamal Crawford, we're live here in Golden State. Jamal Crawford's giving me something. At least he's next to the microphone.
It's Jay Crossover right there.
I'm just like, come on, man.
Blazer legend.
Give me somebody with energy.
Yeah, I'm with you. You got to have energy. Snoop's going to have energy, but I agree with the take. Less is more.
Yeah, I could see.
Little doses.
If he was on like all the time, I think it would get worn out.
It's like if you had hear Bill Walton call five games a week.
I think Snoop Dogg is smart enough to recognize that, too. Okay.
Is there anybody in entertainment we haven't heard on a game that you'd like to see them dabble in this?
Who would be funny? The only ones that I would like to see do it more are like stand-up comedians. But that's like you do it from time to time. Like a comedian will go sit in a baseball booth for an inning and you laugh. Like Bill Burr will do that at time to time at Fenway and he'll hang out for two innings. Like, give me one of those. I'm all for it. Not for an entire game,
but,
though, I don't think.
Well, yeah, and a whole game is a bit much. But like McConaughey.
Yeah, McConaughey wouldn't be terrible.
We need to know who the ball knowers and sports fans are, because like the President of the United States clearly showed he knows nothing about football.
Knows nothing about
like
football.
Like, not a thing, not a name, not anything.
Nada.
But you get Snoop Dogg, and he knows everybody.
He has the Snoop Youth Football League.
So we know who's watching sports and who's not watching sports.
Actually, the guy I'd like to hear on a basketball game that'd be fun is former President Obama, because he does know ball.
Yeah, he watches a lot of ball, plays a lot of ball.
Well, and also, like, Macaulay Culkin is married to Brenda Song, who was, you know, famous for being a childhood actor, and she's got some parts here and there. She's a diehard Rams fan.
Yeah.
So, like, bringing her in for half a quarter, would she give you some ball knowledge?
I think she would. She'd bring a little bit of heat.
She's a diehard. Yeah. She talks about the depth chart all the time of that team.
Who's your number two tight end? I got to know the answer to that question.
Right,
okay,
right.
I'm with you there. What else we got?
Oh, this is me. 1 point for a million.
1 point for a million.
I'm pretty sure you guys didn't see this. So, one of my favorite sporting events starts this week in the Australian Open. Yes, I'm weird. We've all established that. So last year, before the U.S. Open tennis tournament, they wanted some higher profile players playing in the mixed doubles, and they did it on the 3 or 4 days before the main draw started, and they got Coco Gauff and Alcaraz and Naomi Osaka and some others to play in it, and it was a huge draw.
So it's mixed doubles.
It was mixed doubles. Okay. So the Australian Open is like, okay, what could we do? So this happened, they showed it yesterday, maybe it was 2 days ago with the time difference. So it's called, the 1 point slam. And so it was a mix of all of the top players combined with some former great legend players, some personalities, TV musicians, and then with all of the tennis clubs around Australia, they had local tournaments for amateurs to win a spot. And it was 1 point. So you were out on center court in Australia, this big tournament, 1 point, and then the winner got $1 million, and some amateur player.
No way.
Yeah, went through. And so the only difference was the amateurs and the celebrities got two chances to get a serve in. The pros only got one.
Okay.
And so they're going through this rapid fire. So
right,
like
you go and
center, Alcaraz, Coco Gauff, Naomi Osaka, all of them were in it. And this guy that won his local tennis club and amateurs, like 36 years old, won $1 million.
Won a point. Who did he win the point against?
Won it against a woman who was like ranked 120th. She was a qualifier.
Okay.
But he beat Sinner, so Sinner served it into the net when he played Sinner.
So he won it on like kind of a technicality.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't matter. $1 million, $1 million,
but the pros were all out there. Everybody, it was kind of a party atmosphere.
That's a good idea.
I think if you wanted to draw a little bit more attention, I think if we bring it over to America, I don't know what's going to get more people interested in tennis. If you did this with golf, so if you had a PGA tournament coming to your city and all of the local golf clubs had a tournament before to play
one hole. Yeah.
So you do this like on Tuesday.
Sure, the week of the tournament.
And all
can
of a
you
sudden,
beat a guy on one hole?
Plus
or a
you
gal
have some
on
celebrities
hole.
Out there that are involved promoting it, that sort of thing, and you played like the signature hole on that course.
You just hit your tee shot out of bounds, you just put your club back in your bag and say, all right, well, this one's over.
It reminds me at the Ryder Cup a couple years ago when JT brought out the random fan.
Yeah. Justin Rose, I think it was.
Justin Rose, and he sunk.
The American fan was talking trash about them missing a putt. He was like, then you come make the damn putt. And he walked out in front of the crowd and drained the putt and then pumped the crowd.
So, you do it on a hole. Maybe you do it on a short par four or a reasonable par three. Maybe the only difference is the amateur can go from the regular tees and the pros back from the championship tees. But you play out the hole, not just a long drive or closest to the pin, that sort of thing, but actually play
can
out
you
the hole.
Beat them on a hole.
That's probably the most doable one, because my only like other option would be I'd love to see a regular Joe at the plate against a Skeens. One at bat.
I don't
if
think
you make
that,
contact with the ball in any way, like
any sort of contact,
any contact, you get the money.
You wouldn't. Most people wouldn't even see it. But I think you involve you involved the local golf community, and then this was to raise money for Tennis Australia to go back into the program.
That's so huge.
You
would it's do a great it idea.
For your local, the OGA or the Oregon chapter of the PGA to funnel back into programs for youth or whatever.
Here's the other thing, too. I've not followed up on this, but we had Orem on going into the Peach Bowl, and he said something, and I wanted to react to it, but we were against it. And I've heard, all of us have probably said this in some way. The idea that when we go, oh, I could get 3 yards. Like, okay, Bill Orem, put pads on.
Yeah, I want to see you to practice.
In the backfield. Yeah. I'm going to give you a good offensive line, and I want to see if you really can get 3 yards. You can't. You would get annihilated, even with good blocking.
That's my line, man. Maybe they're getting a little bit of push.
I could give you a good line. Nobody here could get 3 yards.
I'm too small. They couldn't see me behind the line of scrimmage. I don't know where I'm at. Tiny.
They'll see you. If they know your goal is to get 3 yards, they'll see you.
Got to hit them with a play action first. Got to loosen them up a little bit. Okay. You got to throw it a run. Come on, man. Help me out.
If they replay this or you go online and see snippets, I'll check it out. It was 1 point. Here you go.
Here's your chance. All right.
And then, you know, and it was just all this combination. And then the fact that you got this up-and-coming women's professional who lost in the qualifiers. She's ranked like 120th in the world. And then this 36-year-old amateur guy, I think he was like a taught at the club or something like that.
What a moment. You're going to remember that for the rest of your life.
At center court there at the Australian
Swag
Open.
Swag bowling one time against a pro bowler.
There you go.
Match a strike or get a strike and the guy gets
that's
spared.
A doable one. Those ones are doable because you can get – and I, you know, golf is – conceivable because if you have a good enough local player that would qualify
that's
to do
think.
It,
if you get
like you could birdie a hole against a par and win one. You're not going to win 18 holes, but you could win
a hole.
Block existed.
Exactly.
That was a real thing.
He just got a new endorsement deal. That guy hasn't gone away.
Why do you hate that guy? Man. I don't get it. Screw nothing bad has come out about him.
Yeah, that we know of yet.
Are you just jealous?
Incredibly.
He got a hole-in-one with Rory McIlroy as his playing
partner. Do we need
to
interrupt the hat here for a moment?
Why? What happened?
We got breaking news.
Somebody get hired or
the
fired?
The Ducks have officially announced their coordinators. It's Hampton and Maringer.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So it's official.
The in-house guys.
In-house guys. I mean, that was expected, but good to know, nonetheless. What was I going to say? Oh, speaking of the tennis thing, by the way, quickly, there was a gal... I don't know if you guys saw the video of this. There was a viral video, and I don't remember exactly when it was. I think it was in Kenya, but a 21-year-old unranked player got into qualifying for a tournament against a really good player.
Oh, yeah.
And you could go find the video of it, and it is the funniest thing you've ever seen.
She just gets annihilated.
Like, it's like picture the losing a fantasy football bet and showing up to, like, remember the guy who had to qualify for the U.S. Open or whatever and shot like 146. Yeah. He's never played golf before. I don't know. I'll have to dive in and see. Maybe a listener knows the reasoning behind how she got in or how this all made sense. It was like it looked like me out there playing tennis, and it was like a sanctioned, like, qualifying tennis match. And everybody's like, what is happening?
Did
right
it
now?
Look like the gal from Australia in breakdancing?
Yes. Yes, look at the thing with Australia. Maybe it was Australia. There was a video I was watching the other day, and I'm like, I don't know what tournament this is for.
That was the good thing about how they set this up. Even the celebrities they had out there, you knew they played tennis at a club. Like, they at least played, you know, recreationally.
They all knew what they were doing.
Yeah, they all knew what they were doing.
So here's this one. It's a 21-year-old who is obviously unranked, received a last-minute wildcard entry into the main draw of a professional event hosted by Tennis Kenya. And in her match against the German, some good player from Germany, I guess, she lost, and you guys can tell me how bad this is, 6-0, 6-0 in 37 minutes.
Oh, that's quick.
She may not have even registered a point.
It says that she registered a total of 3 points.
Yeah, that's
were they on, like,
I don't know.
Bad serves? Because I don't know.
She had 20 double faults. Is that bad? I'm assuming that's bad.
Yeah. Well, the question would be, if the pro double faulted on her serve and gave her points that way?
Yeah. Could have been that her only points.
That's probably the only way.
Go watch it. You can find this. Like, look at Tennis Kenya. Search the video. It's one of the funniest things you've ever seen. Let's get to more Magic Hat on the other side. Breaking news, just if you're wondering, Ducks have officially promoted from within both their coordinators, as we expected them to. Hampton as the DC and Maringer as the offensive coordinator. More Magic Hat, and then Brady Henderson, bottom of the hour. Back after this on The Fan.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
All right, Brady Henderson coming up bottom of the hour. Welcome back in, everybody. We're in the middle of the Magic Hat. It's a glorious 30 minutes of radio. I look forward to it every week. What else we got, Swag?
Tennis overtook it.
It did. Sorry. I didn't see that coming.
And you're the one that added to it.
Yeah, I love Swag, by the way, with his note to begin that of, I don't think either of you saw this. Like, you know I didn't see that. Which is great. That was an informative segment. It was perfect.
Sometimes you go, you know, down a wormhole or video
shows
up.
Not a lot of tennis wormholes I'm going down.
Hey, cousin.
Yeah, this is me. I actually want to follow up on something I joked with Josh Pate about. So there's a front office story out today that ESPN has fallen in love with college football. And you could say, well, they already have because the SEC Network and the money they pay for the rights. Yeah, and I'd counter and say they barely talk about the sport.
They've been broadcasting college football our entire lives. And yeah, the discussion around it hasn't been there.
Well, there's a funny quote in here from the executive vice president. It's basically like, you know, college football is kind of popular. I think we're going to start doing it more. And I'm like, we've been screaming about this for a decade. It's the second most popular sport in America right now.
Yeah, it's not even really close.
And so basically the story is about ESPN wants more Pate. Josh Pate has made quite the impression him, Luan, and Compton are going to become regular staples. I'm sure there's going to be a show formulated at some point. Either their locker room show will become a show or something, right? There's a line in here, and I want to know how you guys feel. There's a line in here, and it says, industry sources believe Pate is ultimately prime to make millions of dollars per year. And I just don't know how I'd react if somebody wrote a story about this, about me, because you would start getting texts.
All the time.
Hey, cousin.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey.
Long time no talk. How you been, man?
And one listener's like, I wouldn't care if I made the money. I'm like, it's so easy to say you wouldn't care until you start getting those phone calls, those text messages.
Right.
You go to dinner. He's going to go to a family reunion, he said, before the Natty, and somewhere in Alabama. You think he's going to like a 150-person dinner? And not being expected to pick up the entire tab.
Right.
And you could be a person that says, yeah, I make millions a year. I gladly pick up the tab. That's how I'd feel.
Sure, I'd love to help out.
But there's never a circumstance where you're not the one expected to just pay for the whole, you know, all the stuff.
It's a big burden that you're going to carry around at every family gathering
This is how you answer the question, though, from the article and somebody writes. It's like, no, they're talking about the cost of the show. That's to cover all the production and all the employees. That's not my individual
I'm not
salary.
Taking that home. Come on.
But they're still going to think you're making close to...
He's going to be very well compensated for many years to come. He's great at what he does. And it was a really funny read. I saw it yesterday and I just started laughing. One, because I knew we were going to have him on today. But two, we used to have our old boss, Jeff Sacramento. We used to have, I can't tell you how many conversations about ESPN and the topics that they would talk about and their national radio lineup and the things that they would focus, Yankees and Red Sox, which is only relevant to one small pocket of the country, but that's all that they would focus on.
That was where the pocket was made.
But that's where the pocket
makers.
Was. The decision makers were in the pocket.
Yep.
And we used to always, I just laugh reading that quote because we used to say to each other, why don't they focus more? Like, why are there no first take segments on college football? Why are we not doing this why are we talking about the, you know, all these random things when college football is not even debatable as the second most popular sport in America? My team got publicly humiliated on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
They lost by 40. That game was over, what, 5 minutes to go in the second quarter? The thing was over pretty damn quick.
Yep.
You know how many people watched that game? 20 million. And that's down slightly from last year because they were down by 40. 20 million people watched that game.
Which is basically the World Series.
Yes, it's an insane number. And so it's a massive sport. Good for Pate, though. Maybe I'll send him a text, too. Hey, hey, cousin.
Hey, cousin.
Hey, cousin. Hey, cousin. What's going on, man? Need a house project done.
I'm under contract.
Mm. I did not pull the audio with this. I just wanted to briefly update. You know me. We talked about it earlier. Thanks to the Mail Sack audience, they gave us a great Brooks Koepka question to be able to talk about Brooks coming back to the PGA Tour. Now, my guy Tiger turned 50 last night. You see him looking all swank? Swank and swagger, hanging out with the Trumpies.
First of all, saw the jacket for his Tiger Golf League commercial thing. Jacket looks awesome. There's no way I'm ever going to afford that jacket because his line is ridiculously expensive.
Yes, it is.
Are we going to have a conversation about he's starting to look a little His face is changing.
It's not moving? Is that what you're telling me? Dude, he's had so many needles into his face, you can't even begin to count.
But he's getting to an age where you're starting to go,
dude.
Mickey Rourke?
Yeah. It's all over the place.
Kenny Rogers.
If you want one other bit of great audio that we can go find, he was on with SVP on the the TGL night the other night. Did you hear what he called Akshay Bhatia?
No.
He called him Ashtray.
That sounds like Tiger.
It was like, did he just call him Ashtray? He just called him Ashtray. Okay. Anyways, the reason I bring this up.
I think Ashkay apologizes to him.
I think
for
he does.
That.
I'm so sorry. My name is now Ashtray.
You're right, I am.
You're Tiger. Get to name me. You set the future. No, but Brooks is coming back PGA Tour. It's great for golf. A lot of the guys have talked about it this week. They interviewed the other Live Bros, because I think their season is starting. Who the hell knows? Who cares?
Yeah.
But they were all up on a dais, and they were sitting up there, and they said, hey, Bryson, how do you feel? What's your reaction to the news of Brooks Koepka going back to the PGA Tour? Because Bryson has one more year left on his deal. And he took like a five-second pause, looked around the room, and then said, well, I'm under contract for 2026. And that was all he said.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to buy it out. He's going to play one
more year. He doesn't
want to
buy it out.
Be back.
And he's going to be back. He also has floated legitimately the idea. He's a wonky enough dude to actually do it. Mm-hmm. He has floated the idea of leaving both tours entirely and just filming YouTube content and playing in the majors.
I mean, he's probably going to make
a ton
of money doing
that. He's making millions of dollars on YouTube golf. Yes, financially he will be fine.
The trick is he's got to continue to win one
to keep
get the
exemptions. Yes. So if he wins one in the next year, like if he wins a major this year.
He can still go through qualification for the U.S. Open and the
Open Championship.
Championship.
But there's no qualification for the Masters.
Not the Masters. And
he's a big brand guy, obviously. That's why he's made this change to his personality and he's doing the YouTube stuff. I have a hard time believing he won't be back on the tour.
I do too.
Because you can still do your golf content off season.
As long as he, keeps going down the trajectory he's going, the PGA Tour wants him back. Desperately.
Oh, desperately. He's one of the biggest eyeball generators in the entire sport.
They want him back.
Ooh. If not the biggest.
I was going to ask
Rom, they'll take or leave. Everybody
he might
else.
Be the biggest.
I think, in terms of internet popularity and a name recognition standpoint.
To get people to tune into a golf tournament.
Yeah.
To get people to go to a golf tournament.
We know Rory's one of the bigger ones, right? But, he really might be that because he used to be such a hateable, buff guy that's going to drive the ball. And, he slimmed down a little bit. He's changed his game. He's changed his personality. He really might be the number one.
Yep. I'm with you there. We don't have time to squeeze one more in, I don't think. Let's get on time for Brady. Wonderful Magic Hat. Delightful conversations. It's always...
I had a good one in there.
They call it the water cooler talk because that's what people are talking at the water cooler.
Yeah, both of them will. I have two more in there.
Okay.
They'll hold over.
I have one more. I might slip it in here as my update because, it was pretty good and it's not really timely.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.